This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Hour number two of the Blitz starts now. Live AM 1340 FM 105.7. As always, go to fanrunradio.com. Click the link at the top for the live stream. Hey, and if you like apps, we got an app too. You can always take us on the Fan Run Radio app wherever you may go. Get that in wherever you get your apps in app stores, Google, iPhone, et cetera, et cetera. And as always, you can watch our smiling faces live on the Periscope feed at Facebook Live and on our Twitter streams. Hour number one in the books. Hour number two starts now. Let's go ahead and take time, hit you with the headlines that we might have missed in the first hour and some of the ones, some of the popular headlines with an opening drive. You ready, Charlie? Hey, he's getting better. See that? Didn't have to wait on the drop this time. Hey, first down. You know him, I know him, we all hate him, but he's not going anywhere anytime soon. Nick Saban, who has led Alabama's football program to six national championships, has been rewarded with a contract extension that will take him through the 2028 season, the university announced yesterday. The new agreement will extend his current contract by three seasons to 8 years. Saban is set to make $8.42 million this coming season, and his new deal will include annual increases in salary. Sources have told ESPN and take his average salary to more than $10 million over the life of the contract. As part of Saban's new deal, he will receive a contract completion benefit of $800,000 payable at the end of the 2022, 2023, 2024, and 2025 seasons. He's entering his 15th season at Alabama and has won three of the past six national titles. Oh, it makes me sick to my stomach. He also won a national title at LSU in 2003. Seven national titles is the most in college football history, passing the one, the legend, Bear Bryant. In a statement, Saban said, I'd like to read it like Saban. Me and Miss Terry, he and his wife Terry, are pleased and happy to sign another contract this season that will keep us in Tuscaloosa through the end of our career. Wow, man. Saban turned 70 in October. And for many of us who thought, maybe he's going to retire soon. He ain't thinking about retiring at all, it seems. And former Florida and South Carolina coach Steve Spurrier told ESPN that just before the 2019 season. He can go into his 70s easy, and I think he will. I told him he won't retire until he loses three games in a season.
That's all we got to do?
Saban told Spurrier, if I ever lose three games around here again, they might kill me. Nick Saban. It seems like we are never going to be able to get rid of him in the SEC. What do you guys think about the big extension?
When he finally does retire, what is that fan base going to do? Because they're not going to keep up the same.
Unless they hire the best coach in college football at the time, whoever that probably will
be. They're going to go nab Dabo Sweeney?
Bring or him maybe home. Ryan Day or maybe
it'll
Lincoln
be like
Riley.
Somebody like that.
Yeah.
Just it's going to be one of the top three coaches that he continues to face in the college football playoffs.
Yeah, I mean,
I know,
I know Dabo says now that he's not going
to
leave.
Dabo will go to Alabama.
But I think Alabama's going to be like, yeah, let's just – if we have to, we'll make it $15 million a year. Who really cares at this point? Because we print money when we're this good. I don't think Nick Saban coaches through that entire contract, though. I mean, that's just speculation. But, I mean, we're starting to see it with – the way the landscape of the NCAA is starting to just rapidly change. I mean, the transfer portal is like the wild, wild west now. You got, you know, currently stuff going on with name, image, likeness, the push to continue to pay players. And as college sports get increasingly complicated, I think these older veteran coaches, you know, are finally starting to have enough. We saw Roy Williams tap out. Coach K, he's tapping out. And I would think that, you know, the changing landscape, you know, has at least something to do with that. It was at least some sort of factor. Contract extensions don't really mean that much. We saw Jeremy Pruitt get extended right before he got fired. We saw Joe Moorhead get extended right before he got fired at Mississippi State. I mean, just extensions are really just there to be able to better pay assistants and better hire assistants.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Saban's made his money, but and what you were saying about people, Saban ain't getting fired. He's lifetime. He goes out on his own terms. Saban, just some more useless stats and knowledge, but I'm sure most of you already knew. He has the most wins against the top 5, top 10, top 15, top 20, and top 25. Against the top 25, he has 90 wins, most all time. Against the top 20, he has 80 wins, again, most all time. Top 15, he has 61 wins, again, most all time. Top 10, 44. And against the top 5 of the AP, he has 27 wins, and he has also never been beat by an assistant. So, the rich get richer down in Tuscaloosa, and Nick Saban going to coach until he dies. Second down. The New York Knicks are happy because Tom Thibodeau named Coach of the Year for the second time in his career. The NBA put that stamp on it Monday. Thibodeau's named NBA's Coach of the Year. The New York Knicks coach led the team to a 20-win improvement this season. He edged out Phoenix Suns coach Monty Williams, which I thought might give him a big run for his money, by only a total of 11 points. Utah Jazz coach Quinn Snyder finished third. It was the second time Thibodeau won the award in his first year with a new team after doing so with the Chicago Bulls in 2011. I miss Tom Thibodeau so much. I really do. It's been downhill since he left. He quote, anytime you get an award like this, I'm obviously honored, but it's more a reflection of our group and our organization. A couple of the players he had as part of that Bulls team, also with him in New York, Derrick Rose, Taj Gibson. He kept them, and he always goes after the players that he used to coach. But Thibodeau wins Coach of the Year once again. What do you guys think about the success that he has had with New York? Is this something that he can keep, that can be consistent with?
First things first, I'm pissed that Monty didn't get it.
Yeah, I thought Monty Williams deserved it.
I thought he was incredibly deserving. That's not to say that Tom, you know, isn't.
Didn't, yeah.
But I think Monty was more deserving. But as for the Knicks and their sustained success, you know, I think that they are set up to be able to have sustained
success.
Wow, yeah. That one.
Sustainability.
That was not coming off the tongue well at all. But
yeah, his words are hard, man.
Ooh,
sustainability?
I'm still can't say it. Sustained success.
There you go.
I would be a little bit more worried now that you saw Julius Randle kind of disappear in the playoffs. Is that something that you're going to have to worry about again down the road? Or was that, you know, him kind of feeling the pressure of his first playoff appearance where he's an important piece? I don't know.
Nick's got to go get Zion. There's been rumors. Zion.
There's
wants
a lot
of
young players I'd rather have than Zion.
Yeah, I don't know about Zion and Julius. I don't know how that roster would be. But
Bring
Monty Williams,
Mello.
Monty Williams actually had more first-place votes with 45 than Thibodeau and was named on 96 ballots to Thibodeau's 95, but Thibodeau edged him out by virtue of getting several more second-place votes. Williams, though, helped lead the Suns to the NBA's second-best record after Phoenix hadn't made the playoffs since 2010. So a lot of people back and forth on that. Should Monty Williams have got it? I think he should have. I think there's a lot of people around the NBA, too, that believe he should have got it. But, hey, Tom Thibodeau did an excellent job with helping R.J. Barrett take a leap and also guiding Julius Randle to be the most improved player this season. Third down. Daryl Morey, Philadelphia 76ers GM, has been fined. That's right. The NBA announced Monday evening that Daryl Morey and the Philadelphia 76ers have each been fined $75,000. For a tweet that Morey posted last week about Golden State Warriors superstar Steph Curry. Morey, who is the president of basketball operations, hit with the fine because it violated the league's anti-tampering rules, which prohibit executives from talking about players on opposing teams. And then the league said the Sixers also were fined due to Morey's conduct. Morey tweeted, "Join them." with a picture of an Instagram post by Curry about his brother Seth, the starting shooting guard for the 76ers. He tried to explain himself in a subsequent tweet, writing that he was talking about the fact that we are thrilled Seth Curry is here with the 76ers and nothing else. Is it a little too harsh by the NBA? Or do you think there was a message there that Morey was trying to send to Steph Curry? Why would he want to go to Philly, though?
I don't know. It's pocket change anyway.
Yeah, it's not anything that's significant at all to a guy who's president of basketball operations and to a franchise. A little harsh, though. A little harsh. I don't see Steph Curry wanting to go to the 76ers.
He's a lifer.
Yeah.
Out there. He's not
He's
going
got
anywhere.
It made, too, in San Francisco now. Not Golden State, but San Francisco. Yeah. We'll see. He's been fine, though. Hey, and in other news, fourth down, the Suns, in magical fashion, were able to take down the Denver Nuggets last night at home in the Valley, 122-105, led by CP3, taking over in the fourth to close out the game one win. It was a back-and-forth game with much of the first half and going into the third, the Nuggets up. But Chris Paul, that shoulder ain't bothering him anymore, went 6-for-6 in the fourth quarter as Phoenix cruised to the win. Looks like Chris Paul back healthy, and he's got a little chip on his shoulder and a little determined to get to the finals. What did you guys think about last night's game? And we'll get into the NBA playoffs on the other side. But what did you guys think about Chris Paul and his show that he put on?
I was a little worried that the Suns were not going to figure it out for a while there. And I really want a good series, and I'm rooting for the Suns too. And then, yeah, Chris Paul just snapped, showed us why he really is one of the great point guards out there. It was exciting. It was fun to watch, and I'm pumped for that series.
Yeah, 36 years old, Chris Paul is the oldest player in NBA history with 20 points, 10 assists, and 5 rebounds in a playoff game. Only 4 other players, LeBron James has done it 6 times, Elgin Baylor, John Stockton, and Dennis Johnson, have put up that stat line at age 35 or older. CP3, did you get a chance to watch the game?
I did not, but I placed the same game parlay on that one that didn't have a shot at the end. I had 40 points for Joker and Booker. Parlayed with 5 threes from Booker and 2 threes from Rivers. It was a $5 bet that would have paid out almost $2,000, but no, didn't stand a shot. Not even close.
Do the Suns look like the team to beat now out of the West? With Chris Paul playing like that, they ended the third quarter on a 25-7 run last night.
If Chris Paul's healthy, I think so. Absolutely.
I'm not sure there is a team to beat in the West. I don't think there's an overwhelming favorite among the teams left, at least out of three of them. You know, the Jazz, the Suns, and, you know, the Clippers with Kawhi suddenly playing really well again. I think all of them could make the finals, and none of them would be surprising.
Yeah, I tend to agree slightly with you, but also think GP3 has a great point. Chris Paul playing out of his mind and this healthy, that'd be a really tough team to put out. I don't think the Nuggets can take them with no Jamal Murray.
Thank
God. Michael Porter Jr. ain't going to be able to put this team on his back. And as much as the Joker is done, he just can't do it by himself. 865-546-8200. That's the number. Let's take a quick time out. Let's come back and let's talk about the playoffs and the games tonight right here on the Blitz. Welcome back to the Blitz, 11:20 on your Tuesday morning. Chance, Charlie, and GP3 in the house with you for about 40 more minutes before the Talk Sports boys get in the building. Time to go ahead and shift our focus to the association. As we said in the opening drive last night, the Suns were able to take down the Nuggets in a pretty tight battle for most of the game until Chris Paul took – excuse me. Almost choked over here until Chris Paul took over late in that one. But tonight, And also, we had another matchup between the Nets and the Bucks. The Bucks down 2-0 to the Nets in a game that was done from the start.
Yeah, never close.
Never close at all. The Milwaukee Bucks, who had not lost a game until this series with the Nets, are down 2-0, and they lost by 39 points last night with no James Harden. On the back of Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Blake Griffin.
Got to pat my own back here and saying that no James Harden yesterday wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, what did I say? That it was going to be a lot harder without Harden and that I think it would go at least seven?
Yes.
That would be a seven-game series without
we
him?
We all were wrong. It's okay. Well, except not for GP3. Him. GP3 was right.
Well, you were the one that said
I thought it was going to be tough.
You said we're going to get the Blake Griffin game again.
And did we get it?
Kind of.
Yeah. Thank you. I was right on that part. Blake Griffin showing that he still has a lot left in the tank as he has found the fountain of youth in these last couple games. I think it's just him getting more opportunity and more minutes and more of a role with this team with James Harden out, that he's showing everybody that there's a reason why he was once an MVP candidate with not only the Clippers but also the Detroit Pistons in his first year there.
I mean, he snatched Giannis's soul.
Oh, God. Giannis is shook. Kevin Durant finishes the game with 32, 6 assists, and 4 rebounds. Joe Harris, he finished with 13. Bruce Brown, former Auburn player, 13. Kyrie with 22. And then, lo and behold, Blake Griffin had 13.
Well, he had
13 and 6, but he had some key moments. Like you say, he's really put it to – no, he had 7, excuse me. I'm looking at Bryce.
He had 7 points, 8 rebounds, but those 7 points came all in like
– very efficient night for him.
An early stretch in the first half.
Yeah, only 25 minutes played for him, but very efficient. He shot 75% from the field, also hit one of the 2 threes that he did shoot for 50%. And this series looks over. I don't know what you guys think. I know they head back to Milwaukee for the next 2 games. But I just don't see it. Giannis went from averaging about 25 to 30 a game in that series against the Heat. He's been a shell of himself. A minus 22 last night, 18 and 11. Brooks Lopez gave you 10. Chris Middleton, 17, but not very efficient at all. 7 of 20 from the field, 3 of 8 from 3. And you get 13 from Drew Holiday, who, decent. Brent Forbes, he was the X factor in the Heat series. He had 10. Pretty efficient night for him. But outside of that, nothing. And I think it starts with Giannis. It does look like he has had his soul snatched maybe by Blake Griffin, but also I think he's shook by Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I checked the box score yesterday, and he only had 6 points, I think, at halftime.
He did, because I had a same-game parlay on that guy.
Yeah, he's not playing like himself.
Not playing like an MVP at all. So, Do we think this is going to be a sweep?
I wouldn't be shocked. I know my attention has kind of focused over.
I mean, it is kind of surprising that they couldn't maybe not last night's game. Okay, that's 2 games at home for Brooklyn, but if they can't get at least one of these games in Milwaukee, this is an utter disappointment for this Bucks team. When you thought you were going to be facing a three-headed juggernaut, but you got Harden out. And who knows, man? He might even come back in the next 2 games if he's feeling a little bit better. What did you think about the performance last night by Giannis, Charlie, and what do you expect for the Bucks from the rest of the way?
You know, things look broken right now for Milwaukee, but I'm going to double down on what I said yesterday. I think this series still gets competitive. I think they get gritty, get tough at home, and figure out a way to win a couple in Milwaukee and even the series back up, and we'll see where it goes from there. But, you know, I think the Bucks still have some fight left in them.
Looking at the game between the Suns and the Nuggets, why did I go blank there? What do we expect for the rest of the way of this? I know we talked about in the opening drive, CP3 stays healthy. I still think that the Joker and company can possibly even this up and maybe even take a lead in the series, but it is going to be very tough when you're playing a Suns team that is just lights out as they were last night. I mean, that run they put on at the end of the third quarter going into the fourth when Chris Paul just took over, they couldn't miss. I'm talking about Mikal Bridges, Chris Paul, Devin Booker. DeAndre Ayton is playing like a beast. he looks like the most dominant, I'd say, inside present that we've seen in the Western Conference playoffs so far, outside of Joker.
But the Suns are playing just really good team basketball.
Yes.
Like, you're not having
like,
one guy.
Like the old school Spurs?
Yeah. You don't have one guy who's just going to score 40
at
night. You're just – everybody's going to do their part, contribute, and it'll lead to a win.
I agree with you. On tap tonight, you have the Hawks. Another game in Philly. That was a close one for them on Sunday. They were up by at least 25 or 30 points in the first half, but Philadelphia was able to close the gap in the second half, kind of switched up their game plan, got a little bit more physical with Trae Young. You saw a lot more double teams thrown his way. They disrupted him. Wound up only losing that game, I think it was by 6, when it looked like they were going to lose by 30 at one point. They play tonight at 7:30. That'll be your first game of the evening, followed by the Clippers and Utah starting their series at 10 o'clock. What do we expect from Ice Trae and the Hawks tonight, fellas?
Well, we talked about how
I don't care what John Reed says or what Cam says. I do think Doc Rivers figured something out in that second half.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about how we thought
I don't
they figured
give a
something
damn
out. They started
they
pressuring
they
Trae.
They like the Hawks. They're homers.
They started pressuring Trae. I mean, Trae did miss some open threes. They were right there. But at the same time, I mean, they pressured him, and they, you know, they really affected Trae Young. And if you can cut the head off the snake, you know, you can beat the Hawks. I think we're going to see a double-digit win from the Sixers tonight.
Oh. You got to see more from Ben Simmons, I would say, on the scoring and also the defense. He talked a lot this season about he thought he was the defensive player of the year. Well, show us. He needs to have that Ben. We need a Ben Simmons game. When are we going? Are we going to get a Danny Green game? I got that on my bingo
board.
Give
me another Seth Curry game.
Yeah, Seth had a great first game, and he's had a great playoff series most of the way. He scored 21 on Sunday. Tobias Harris, former Vol, also had a double-double of 20 and 10. Ben Simmons, 17 and 10 assists, but missed 7 of his 10 free throws. Interesting question. If I saw this being thrown about on the internet, I think it was actually thrown out by the Dan Le Batard show yesterday. If you had a free throw on your life, Giannis or Ben Simmons, who's taking that free throw for you?
Giannis, because at least I'm going to get 10 extra seconds to live before he misses it.
Okay.
I'm rolling with Giannis also.
I think I'm going to go with Giannis also as well. Ben Simmons, all
you're
the
time. You're dying. Like that's it.
Yeah,
you're
gonna
not
die.
Going to live.
Either way, you're going to die. Clippers and the Jazz, they start their game one tonight. I tend to think that the Clippers are going to take this. I think they found something in those last two games against the Mavericks. You saw Kawhi Leonard start to do Kawhi Leonard things like we saw whenever he was with Toronto. Seems like he's really taken over and kind of stepping into the leadership role as he sees that he needs to do. Then you'll see a good supporting cast from Marcus Morris again and also Paul George, Reggie Jackson. But I just think Kawhi Leonard is going to put the team on his back and going to be too much for Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz. What do you guys say? You like this? Do we like this series at all? Like, is this a series that we're excited for?
I am excited for it. I think you're.
You like parity?
Really
you want to see
teams.
all these new teams?
You know, I'm excited for it. I think Kawhi. You know, he kind of started doing Kawhi things again, like you talked about. He took over a basketball game in Game 7. He started taking over again and playing like the dominant player that helped him bring Toronto to the finals, that helped him bring the Spurs to the finals. Yeah. And if he can continue to play like that, then. You know, I think the Clippers could be that team to beat in the West.
Utah cruised against Memphis, and the Clippers needed 7 games to knock off the Mavs. In you guys' honest opinion, who is more ready for this series?
I'm going Clippers because they've been playing. They've been active, whereas, like you said, the Jazz were just kind of able to cruise. I don't think they really had to play to their full strength. Grizzlies kind of gave them a run in the first maybe 3 games of the series, but the last two games weren't really all that competitive. So I'm rolling Clippers. They've been playing. They know what they got to do to win. I feel like they're starting to gel a lot better. So if I had to pick, I'd pick the Clippers.
Predictions for tonight's games. We'll go ahead and start with the Hawks and 76ers first. Charlie, GP3, you're up first.
Yeah, I said Sixers by double digits. I think they win 121 to 106.
Okay.
All right, I'm picking the Sixers to win, but I think the Hawks will cover the 6.5. Spread.
Yeah, I agree with you, too. I think the Sixers will win. Then you see a dominant defensive performance from Ben Simmons, also Joel Embiid. I think he'll go out and get 30. I do think Simmons might get a triple-double tonight. I just feel like they're going to be very much ready for this game. Doc Rivers is going to have them ready, set the tone early, whichever team comes out first, very hungry. You got to shut down Trae Young. He's averaging 30 points through his playoff debut and 9 assists. Somebody's got to put a body on him, and you got to keep him under 20. And also some of that supporting cast, Bogdan Bogdanovich, John Collins, Clint Capella. You got to get in those guys and really establish the tone and take away their confidence. I will also go with the 76ers, though. But I think that the Hawks will cover it. It might be closer than we expect. And in the last game, Clippers, Jazz. I'm going to take the Clippers in a 15-point victory. I think Kawhi goes off. Marcus Morris Sr. has another big night. He'll cash in some threes. And then Paul George. Then we might see Pandemic P actually be one of the top scorers as well. But I do think it'll be a Kawhi Leonard game, and it'll be one of those games where we were amazed like his Toronto Raptors run.
Give me a bad fourth quarter from Pandemic P. Give me a 50-burger from Donovan Mitchell, and give me a 114-111 victory for the Utah Jazz.
Close one.
See, I'm riding the Clippers in this one, too, and I think they cover. I don't think it's going to be all that close. But I am also going to throw in, I like the under in this game. It's set at 221.5. I think it stays under that.
There you have it. Those are your games on tap for tonight in the association. Yes, Charlie?
Before we get out of here, a little breaking news.
Okay. Do we need to go to the desk?
No, it's not important enough to know what sound. But Ricky Fowler, he has been playing in the final qualifying site in Columbus, Ohio, to try to qualify for the U.S. Open. He's been playing with a bunch of amateurs and whatever else because he didn't qualify himself with his pretty bad 2020.
So he's going to go beat up on some amateurs?
So he had to go play in a tournament with a bunch of amateurs and other people trying to qualify for the Open. So they actually got like this huge crowd. He was playing with other amateurs, and there was this huge crowd following him. It had to have been weird for them. But he finished one shot short of qualifying for the U.S. Open. He finished outside of the top 16 like he needed to after he went over the green on his second shot on 18 this morning. And not only did he miss the U.S. Open by one shot, but he was also in a 9-way playoff for the final alternate spot. Yeah, with like some amateurs
Ricky
and some former
Fowler.
Pros and stuff, and some pros that didn't make the cut as well, but mostly amateurs. He was also in a 9-way playoff for the alternate spot in the U.S. Open, which still gives him a pretty good chance to go in and compete. And a dude dunked one in from 140 to beat Ricky in the 9-way playoff.
Oh, my God. Well,
poor Ricky Fowler.
Poor Ricky Fowler. But also, need to let you know before we get out of here, also, that portion and this hour has been brought to you by Friends of FanDuel. NBA playoffs are here, and you'll be in hoops heaven, people, betting all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. So many exciting matchups, and FanDuel is taking that excitement to another level. We've been telling you, because new and existing users can bet risk-free throughout the playoffs. New users can get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. Plus, once you have an account, you can bet one same-game parlay risk-free every week. That means you can combine multiple bets for an even bigger win. GP3 loves the same game parlay. I love it. So does Charlie. Because there's so many NBA market options. Player point totals, rebounds, assists, money lines, over-under, point spread. First basket score will pays out double. Player points score 10+, 15+, 20 points, 30+ points. Also player assists, player three-pointers, steals, and blocks. And if you don't win, you'll get up to $10 back. That's right. You'll get some money back. Basketball fans, now is the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot. Just sign up with promo code BLITZ to bet the NBA playoffs risk-free, exclusively only on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 and older and present in the state of Tennessee. Risk-free bet for first online real money wager only, and refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Same game parlay refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund of $10. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Hey, quick timeout. Come back. Let's get to these anonymous coaches' quotes about Tennessee football. This is The Blitz, and we're live on Fan Run Radio. Those my brothers. I ain't even got to say it. That's just something. Welcome back to The Blitz. Live here FM 105.7, AM 1340. Hey, we said we're going to get into a little bit of Tennessee football. I feel like it's been a couple days, maybe even a week or so, before we really talked about the Big Orange over there on the hill on the gridiron.
Shout out baseball.
Shout out baseball for taking our focus away from not really anything happening with the football program. But we're getting to the silly season. And for the silly season, we always get anonymous coaching quotes. That's right, anonymous coaching quotes. Saw this article up at GoVols247. It speaks on the Athlon preseason magazines with the anonymous coaches' quotes for the SEC. So, speaking anonymously to Athlon for its preseason magazine, one opposing coach revealed how he thought Pruitt lost the program and how I thought this was more coach quotes. This is actually just one, so we won't spend a lot of time here, but I thought it was very telling. You got the feeling, quote, you got the feeling he didn't know how to let go from being a coordinator, this coach said of Pruitt. Culturally, they lost the kids. We heard that from transfers and gossip, but it's also on the tape. They didn't want to play. They didn't want to work for each other. Wow.
Now, is this coach also in the SEC?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, because my first thought was Lincoln Riley because of transfers.
Yeah.
But
yeah, this I guess it doesn't really say if they were in the SEC. You know how we have those articles say anonymous SEC coaches speaking on the rest of the SEC. So just could have been another national coach. Could be a Lincoln Riley. But what do you guys think about – you got the feeling he didn't know how to let go from being a coordinator. Let's break down each of these the most important things here. I think that says a lot. I thought that was true, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean – I don't remember the game specifically.
Not only was he, we would say he wasn't the smartest guy in the room, and we all still wondered how did he land this head coaching gig at Tennessee. What the hell did he say to Philip Fulmer to sway him? I still don't understand. But it did seem like he didn't know how to be the head of the program. We talked about Butch Jones as a coach couldn't handle the pressure. I don't think Pruitt – the pressure got to him. I just think he just didn't know how to handle the damn. He didn't know how to do the job.
Well, there was that one game where he was on the sidelines trying to coach the defense up, and yep. Then there was the offense was on the field, and the coaches didn't know whether to call a timeout or what. Like, they just didn't know what to do.
Didn't know what to do.
And then Pruitt was nowhere to be found.
Is that when he pushed the dry erase?
Or he kicked it, I think.
Kicked the dry erase board. Yeah. He often did seem like he was in the huddles of a lot of the defensive huddles on the sideline when he should be the head coach watching what's going on the field. Charlie, what did you think about that? This anonymous coach saying he didn't know how to let go from being a coordinator.
Whoever the anonymous coach is, thank you for taking it easy on us. Taking it easy on Pruitt. It could have been a lot worse. I mean, didn't know how to handle the program, didn't know how to stop being a coordinator. I think that's an understatement. I think he tied the hands of all of his assistants. You know, I think he was a helicopter mom, basically, where he did not let his assistants do the job that he hired them to do. He hired all these great assistants, and we paid top dollar for a lot of them. And then we didn't let them do the job we paid them to do. And, you know, I think he lost his assistants. There were rumors that, you know, all the assistant coaches basically were up in arms, and there was a ton of infighting there, and they didn't get along with Pruitt. And I mean, we even saw Brumbaugh get fired mid-season. And then I think that translates down to the players, too. I think there was just discombobulation throughout the entire program. I agree. These players looked like they weren't properly motivated to play for each other, to play for this coaching staff, and it's hard to really blame them. I mean, it just seems like every minute detail to every important detail, all of it, it was just completely mismanaged top to bottom. It was a dumpster fire of a program by the end.
What do you think about the culture? Culturally, they lost the kids, and they heard that from transfers and also gossip. I agree with everything you just said. This coach could have been a lot tougher on Tennessee because, I mean, us as fans and who spend day in, day out talking about this football program, we saw it. It just looked like guys quit. And maybe not even quit on each other, quit on the team. They just didn't want to play for him.
I mean, we saw
that. It looked like that. They didn't want to play for that guy.
We saw that in year one where we beat Auburn, we beat Kentucky. We needed to win one more game to go to a bowl game, and I think you had Missouri and Vanderbilt left on the schedule, and they just didn't show up to either of them.
Yeah.
And you saw some of the outgoing seniors just look like they didn't care, like they didn't want to go to the bowl game because they just wanted their time at Tennessee to be over and to start preparing for whatever they were going to do next. He just wasn't a good leader at all.
No, not at all. I think he wanted to be so much like Nick Saban, he couldn't carve out his own path of what he need of who he needed to be as a head coach. He thought that he could bring that Nick Saban mentality here to Tennessee. And true, there are some things that you probably can't take away from when you're an assistant with a guy like Nick Saban. But Saban is the way he is also, and he can be that way because he's won, and he's always been a winner. You have to establish the culture that everybody is saying that he lost. You have to establish a winning tradition to be able to be as hard-nosed or as blunt or brash with your assistants. Saban can talk to his assistants any damn way, and they'll respect it because he also has 7 national titles under his belt. Him taking the keys away from Jim Chaney, when Jim Chaney was one of the hottest coordinators in all the SEC, I mean, and we didn't really think about it, but when Tyson Helton left, that probably was a sign how they didn't get along, but we didn't put much into it because you got Jim Chaney.
You think we let Tyson Helton run what he wanted to? He comes from a West Coast offense, a pretty pass-happy system, and then, you know, we have him running up, lining up with an H-back and running power in the A-gap. You think Tyson Helton was wanting to do that?
Hell
no. Then he leaves for a year and goes to Western Kentucky. What are they doing? They're throwing the ball around. I mean, it hasn't gone well for them, but they're throwing the ball around. They're running an offense that looks nothing like what Tennessee just ran. And you can be like Saban. You can be hard-nosed and all that. The one thing, though, is you have to get your players to buy in. If you don't have your players bought into that culture, then instead of a loving and demanding relationship, it is an authoritarian relationship.
Yeah.
And I think that's the kind of relationship Tennessee had. He didn't know how to get his players and his staff to buy into what he wanted. And I just don't think he knew how to be a head coach.
I don't think so either, man, and that speaks volumes. Hopefully Josh Heupel, it seems like he is trying to establish a new culture around here. Hopefully that changes, and it's a winning culture and also a culture where fans and players feel proud about. 865-546-8200. Hey, Penny, hold tight. We'll get you on the other side. We'll take a quick timeout so we can give you a couple minutes. Before we end the show, Talk Sports is in the house. Final segment of The Blitz coming up next. Back here on The Blitz, finishing up the show today. Like I said, Talk Sports in the building. They're ready to get on. We'll go ahead and go to the phone lines real quick. Let's take a quick call from Penny while we got a couple minutes before we end the show. Penny!
What's going on, you guys? How you guys doing?
We're doing good, man. How are you? Good to hear from you. It's been a while.
Yeah. You got your show, and hey, I'm listening daily, and I'll be calling in when I can. It's a different time to try to fit it in.
I appreciate the support, sir. Penny, what do you think about these playoffs so far?
Playoffs going pretty well. It's almost like I predicted it. I thought that one of the big two for the Lakers would get hurt, and that was going to ruin their chances. So that's complete. And the next thing, I still think that Kyrie or KD or both will get hurt. We see James is hurt. So I hope not. I hope they win it all. But, you know, history doesn't really show that both of them will stay healthy throughout this whole playoff run. And Milwaukee's only chance is to be physical with them. So once they decide to play physical, we'll see if both their bodies or one of them, if they'll be able to last.
Yeah, that's something that a lot of people have been talking about. I know that was the hot headline on ESPN this morning. Milwaukee, even their team itself, they've been playing pretty soft. When you look at that series.
Yeah, we'll see if they start powering it down low, because obviously unless they play DeAndre Jordan, you know, they're a way smaller team. But hey, if they can't hit those open jump shots and Kyrie gets the spot up and KD gets the spot up and they don't even need James Harden, let's also not forget about that. When you got a pulled hamstring, you can't just rest one series and that comes off. It takes a full 2 to 3 months to heal that. And that means you also got to pay attention to your weight. And the more weight you gain, the more that's going to be a strain on that hamstring. So That's a story that shouldn't go away.
Hey, speaking of open jumpers, Giannis, I heard this stat from Cam Black waiting in the vestibule before they get on air. Giannis is 6 of 48 for open jumpers. That man cannot shoot.
Jeez.
I mean, he's almost 7 feet. I mean, he keeps trying to conform his game, but, you know, he's never going to be a jump shooter like KD or Kyrie.
He just don't have the skill set.
If they can't shoot, hey, they can't win. But one thing for sure, if they don't get physical with the Nets, they shall not beat the Nets.
Hmm. Interesting. Penny, anything else from you?
No, that's all I got. We'll look at these games tonight, and I'll try to call you back as soon as possible.
Hey, appreciate the call, Penny. Always good to hear from
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Penny.
Hey, all right, great, you guys. Great stuff. Hey, it's been a great show. We got a couple minutes right here. Kevin Durant responded to Jay Williams, who said on Get Up that the NBA star once told him to never compare him to Milwaukee Bucks Giannis Antetokounmpo. Kevin Durant went off on Jay Williams' story and said, quote, "This is a bleeping lie." KD with the crackback on everybody. KD said he did not say this. And he said his only concern is, why is Jay Williams comfortable openly lying on national television?
Do you think KD is too concerned with the media? It seems like he's always getting into it with somebody.
I don't know. He just kind of does his thing.
Yeah, he also went on to say, mans will do anything to advance their careers in this media bleep. Wanting to be accepted by an industry that will dispose of you whenever they please. Keep me out of all that corny bleep talk about who's better in legacy and all that dumb bleep bleep. I don't even talk like that.
Speaking of Kevin Durant,
yeah,
a study was published by Breitbart where they studied geotagged Twitter data, tracking messages such as "I hate so-and-so" or "so-and-so sucks" to determine the most hated basketball player in the NBA by state. So Durant, the most hated player in Ohio, California, and Nevada. His teammate James Harden, Texas, Georgia, and Alabama. Kyrie, the second most. You also have Russell Westbrook and Paul George that each have their own state. Westbrook, Pennsylvania. Paul George, New Mexico. And LeBron. He has like 35 of the 50 states. He's the most hated player.
I bet Tennessee's
and
there
overall
too.
The most hated player. Actually, Tennessee's most hated player, Kyrie Irving.
Interesting. Hey, National Day calendar before we get out of here. National Best Friends Day. Shout out to your best friends. National Upsy Daisy Day. National Name Your Poison Day. And National Call Your Doctor. Hey, it's been a great show. Talk Sports is up next. Thank you for listening to The Blitz. For Chuck, for GP3, I am Chance Collins. Keep it tuned on Fan Run Radio all day.